Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
It is Monday afternoon. Welcome to the show, everybody. Everybody, I slowed my words there a little bit. But welcome to the show, Believe You Me podcast. Lewis, you're not at home. You're in Los Angeles.
I'm in another hotel room.
Oh, the life. The lifestyle of the rich and famous. My God.
Yeah, I am in LA here at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which is very cool. Very, very cool. I also looked really cool. I was coming in with a chick. And the guy that took my keys, he knew who I was. He was like, "Oh, dude, I'm such a big. Oh, made me look so cool." You don't get that because you're famous. You that happens to you all the time. You take it for granted. I'm not actually famous, so when that happens to me in front of a chick, it's perfect. It looks like I set it up.
No, it is the perfect timing, isn't it? You know what I mean? Or if you're trying to impress somebody. I remember, who was it? I was with like a movie producer or something. I was talking to him about a potential role. And then a couple of people come up like, "Oh my God, love you, Bisping." I'm like, yes, perfect fucking timing. Cause it makes you look like a big deal. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But yeah, this is great. LA is great. The fucking weather sucks. It's been 100 degrees every day, except for when I come. I have this beautiful pool. It's 72 degrees outside right now and overcast.
Yeah. I was going to say, cause last time you were here, the weather wasn't too great either, but, no, it is a little shitty. It's been very, very hot recently though. We had a massive heat wave, but yeah, Roosevelt, that's a cool place at night. They have a lot of pool parties. The DJ comes out. A lot of pretty ladies about, but I'll be seeing you tonight and we'll finish this podcast. I'm going to get changed and head up to the Comedy Store. It's been a while since I've been there. It's great. I love going up there.
Yeah, Comedy Store is really, if you guys haven't been, it's one of the coolest comedy clubs in the world. It's just multiple rooms, three rooms of shows happening. There's an energy at the Comedy Store that doesn't exist at every comedy club. You know, there really is. It feels like there's something special happening. So shout out to the Comedy Store. Should be good. Sold out show in advance. So feeling good, baby boy. Feeling good, baby boy.
Oh, of course. Of course. Of course. Why wouldn't you? You know who else is feeling good? All those athletes out there in Japan. You've been keeping an eye on the Olympics, Lewis? Because I fucking haven't.
Wait a minute. Before we even get into that, did Callum make it on the plane?
Yes. Callum's in England. Quarantining. Yeah, yeah. No, of course, yeah. No issues, you know, this time, thankfully. But yeah, he's doing his mandatory quarantine. I think he's got a couple more days, then he gets let loose. So
do you have any idea what his like itinerary is like? What does it mean to try out for the what is it again anyway? I apologize. We didn't really talk about like what it is.
No, it's just the Commonwealth Games. It's a big wrestling. Well, the Commonwealth Games is kind of like the Olympics, but for the countries which are a part of the Commonwealth, you know, it's a big international tournament. Yeah. So he's going to be trying out for the wrestling team. Fingers crossed. He better get on it. Do you know what I mean? After all this, after that expensive flight, if he comes out there, says, "Dad, yeah, they didn't like me," then he's going to get a slap. Simple as that. But
no pressure.
No, he's going to join in and wrestle with the team for a week, and then he goes down to a selection, and they'll look at him, and then they'll decide whether or not he can get on the short list. Because even then, he has to do a few things to qualify. Like, he has to take part in some of the international tournaments. He'll have to fly to France. There's some tournaments later this year. I think he has to be in two or three of the tournaments to even just qualify. You know what I'm saying? But first thing first, they've got to look at him, because obviously he wrestles out here in the States. So, but yeah.
So, essentially, England is cheating.
No, we're not cheating. No, he's English. He's got a British passport and he should not have to quarantine because he's fucking vaccinated. It's absolutely stupid. Let's not get onto that one. But no, he's not cheating. But yeah, he is wrestling. He's being trained by Americans for sure. Absolutely. Yes, 100%.
He's a traitor to somebody. All I know is that Callum Bisping is a turncoat, whether it's to England or to the United States. The man has no backbone, no loyalty to any one country. He reminds me of a certain Michael Bisping.
You got to do you. You got to do you. You got to get ahead in this life. Me, myself, and Irene. You know, screw everyone else. No, he's going to represent England, hopefully. I'd be so proud. You know, Rebecca's like, what does that matter? What does that matter? And then, of course, I mentioned the Olympics, hopefully, because it's Olympics. It's still 2020. That's what they're calling the Olympic Games, you know, Tokyo 2020 or Japan 2020. But it's 2021, obviously, because it was supposed to happen last year. Three more years. Hopefully, he gets into the Commonwealth Games next year, which are in Birmingham, which is very disappointing. Out of all the beautiful countries in the Commonwealth and all the exotic cities we could go to, it's in Birmingham. Shout out Birmingham. I'll be seeing you for Tales from the Octagon, but still, it's just down the street from my house. It could have been South Africa. It could have been, you know, somewhere very exotic, but no, we're going to Birmingham. But then in 3 years, he'll have the Olympics, which is in Paris. So, yeah, very exciting times for young Callum Bisping.
Shout out to Callum Bisping. We're all watching him and rooting him on. So yeah, that's great. But yeah, the Olympics, I can't bring myself to care at all. What, it's the summer games now, right?
Yeah.
You know, I get annoyed when people pretend to care about it.
Well, no,
it's like the World Cup here.
Yeah, no, but it is good, right? Because I like to get behind my country, and it's always nice to do that and to compete and back your country and whatever they do. But a lot of the stuff is like, come on, do we really care? Like last night it was on the news. China just won the women's double in ping pong. And I was like, come on, do I really give a fuck? And then
was that the name of the person who won?
No, come on. You know, then last night, because it's on NBC, they're covering the whole thing. I tried to do it. I tried to watch synchronized fucking swimming. Do you know what I mean? I've got no interest in it. I've got zero interest. I think the British have won a few medals. I think we won one in Taekwondo, I believe. Not sure. The Japanese are killing it with the judo. But yeah, it's a lot of very, very obscure sports, to be honest. The big ones, boxing, wrestling. What else do I like? The sprinting. I like the weightlifting and stuff.
Well,
like
you
that.
Know, in 2024, they've added a few other martial arts. They added Muay Thai, kickboxing, and Sambo to the Olympic Games, which is pretty cool. I saw my Muay Thai coach posting about it. That's like pretty.
So what did they added Muay Thai?
Yeah, they added Muay Thai. Yeah.
No way.
I swear to God, I'm looking at it right. I just fact checked before I brought it up because I don't look like an idiot.
That's interesting.
Muay Thai to the Olympics. Do you think it's going to be like full contact Muay Thai? Like they're going to come in and elbow each other in the face and knee each other? That's crazy.
Well, I don't know, because when they do Taekwondo, obviously they're covered in pads and things. And the big difference is obviously with the Olympics, it's amateur, right? Once you go professional, you can't compete in the Olympics. So
except in basketball for some reason.
I was going to say, because a lot of basketballs represent the national team. I don't get it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I have no idea why they allow that. I mean, it's honestly because it's awesome. Back in the day when it was like the dream team, the United States dream team was like, I don't know anything about basketball, but it was like the best basketball players of the 90s. Like them going to the Olympics was crazy. They were just destroying everybody.
So as I was saying, you can't be professional. So I don't know if I want to sign up to an Olympic Muay Thai team if I'm going to get kneed, elbowed, all that shit for nothing. And then, of course, you know, you have so Taekwondo's an Olympic sport, judo's an Olympic sport, wrestling is an Olympic sport. Now Muay Thai, apparently, according to Gomez, is an Olympic sport. You put all those things together, you could say it's a mixture of certain martial arts. You could say boxing, you could say wrestling, you could say kickboxing, you could say Taekwondo, you could say Muay Thai. Throw in a little fencing if you want to get some weapons involved. But what have you got there? What have you have? What do you have, Lewis?
Well, if you throw in fencing, I think your analogy is out the window. But yes, it's a mixed martial arts.
Why not a mixture of martial arts.
Literally. I think we'll see MMA in the Olympics, definitely within, you know, obviously not 2024, but the next one or the one after that. They've been talking about it for a while. And the fact that they have all of these different styles in it at this point, and with the explosion of mixed martial arts, how popular it is, part of that is a show. Like the Olympics, they want people to watch. And if they were having amateur, like the best amateur mixed martial artists in the world compete, I would love to watch that.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think it would be very popular because, as you say, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the Olympics struggle in terms of ratings. Again, the ping pong, not interested. What are some of the more mundane, like the summer games when they're skiing along and then the shooting and the curling and shit. I mean, it's terrible. But if you put in MMA, if MMA was an Olympic sport, I do believe with the popularity of the sport, because the popularity of MMA now or UFC, which whatever you want to call it, is going through the absolute roof. You know, so I think if you put in some amateur MMA, it'd be fantastic. I'd also like to see Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as an Olympic sport as well. And I think, to be honest, probably within 10 years, we will see both of those. I think MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu will be Olympic sports.
Yeah, I think, especially, I didn't even think about BJJ. You're right. It should be.
Yeah, absolutely, it should be. It's a fantastic sport, and a lot of people do it all over the world. It's not like it's a niche thing anymore. It's very, very popular. So I think we will get there eventually. But that was always my my thing, because I remember when I was speaking to journalists, when I first signed with the UFC, I was trying to, you know, going down to London and speaking to the press and trying to let them see that it wasn't human cockfighting. That was always my line. I said, well, you know, I mean, look at what we do. Look at the elements. Boxing. That's an Olympic sport. Wrestling, Olympic sport. Taekwondo, Olympic sport. The only difference is, you see, that we do them all together at the same time. But for some reason, we're barbarians. And they say, yes, Michael, you elbow them in the face repeatedly when they're down and there's blood all over the place. Listen, it's a good line, dickhead, but it's fucking brutal. I'm like, yeah. It is. Deal with it.
They didn't accept your bullshit.
Yeah, no, that's it. They go, yeah. But still, the Olympics, there was a thing last week. We were going to put it in the notes. It was about the beds. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. They were having cardboard beds so the Olympic athletes couldn't bang.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on now. What the fuck?
I mean, come on. Why are you trying to ruin their fun? If they're young, free, and single, and they want to mingle in the Olympic Village, why not?
Were you ever one of the people that, because that's like an old-timey thing.
Cardboard bed?
Well, that's 100% you did. But the that came from the train of thought. It's like an old school. It's like it came from, it was in the first Rocky movie where he wouldn't bang Adrian. She wants to fool around. Yeah, and he's like, no, I'm training for a fight. And did you ever believe that? Like when you were in a fight camp that you couldn't have sex?
Never in a million years. Never in a million years. I mean, that is an old school thing. And they say, it weakens the knees, weakens the legs and all the rest of it. I beg to differ in a big way. Obviously, I'm not going to get graphic on here. I'm not going to disrespect my wife, but, you know, there was definitely five-day shenanigans. Do you know what I mean? Yes.
Dude. You're fascinated to go out, goddamn right, doggy. You're a king.
Fucking right. It's like, listen, hold on a minute. What kind of a man do you think I am? What, you're telling me that I can't make love to my wife and still kick someone's ass? I'm sorry. But
8 to 10 weeks.
Don't fucking hold me to your measuring stick, okay? Because I'm good, pal. I'm good. I'll still take care of business still take care of business
during the whole fight camp. 8 to 10 weeks, 2 to 3 times per year. So most of the time you're just not banging your wife.
Hold on. I don't understand the logic. Say that again. Sorry, my wife just walked in carrying a massive box and it just kind of threw me off.
I'm not gonna make the joke I want to make. So I was saying it's supposed to be during the whole fight camp. You're not supposed to have sex. So
yeah, no, but
three
hold
fights
on,
per year.
But hold on, but what are you saying here? Because let's be honest. I don't want to get crude. I don't want to get blue chewy, right? But the reality is, were you telling me that fighters, they go off to training camp and they don't take care of business themselves? They don't masturbate? Because it's the same thing. It's a release.
I guess you're supposed to have that inside. I just feel like I'd be training with a boner all the time. <I'm>
like, I have got way too much testosterone. Do you know what I mean? By just releasing a little bit of it brings me down to the level of the fellow man.
Okay, I get it.
You know, what I mean?
It would be unfair. It would essentially be performance enhancing if you didn't release.
I don't know, like, because they do say that. You know, I think it's more just a mindset. I think it's more just I mean, some old boxing coaches, it was very old school. They say weak as the legs and all the rest of it. But I think it's more about just having your fighter dialed in. You know what I mean? They're willing to make the sacrifices. You know what I'm saying? So it's they know I've left no stone unturned. But fuck that. I did not go in for that train of thought. We'll leave it at that. But
Brian put in the notes right here. Testosterone levels rise during sex and masturbation and then fall again after orgasm. So it isn't surprising that people think it could impact their workout. But this fluctuation isn't high enough to have a noticeable effect on any activity, blah, 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 of course. So, yeah, obviously. But you're right. I think there is something about that. It's a psychological thing. Like if you listen to a song that gets you fucking pumped up And it makes a difference when you go out to fight that guy. I mean, you can't, it's not that that song is magic, but there's something valid to saying that, yeah, that motivated you. It put you in a different mindset. You punched harder. You moved faster. You were in a certain state. So it's all just whatever psychological advantages you could have.
I'm just thinking about the day I lost my belt. I may have had I may have had sexual relations, and then I went on and lost my belt. So maybe I shouldn't have done.
The day off.
Years. Day off. No, I used to do it all the time. All the time, you know, you need a little mid-afternoon nap. What do you do? Bish, bash, bosh, off you pop, off to the races, a little nappy poo-poo, and away you go, on with your business. Great fight. You're not going to watch any Olympics. If you had to pick two or three sports, what would you go for?
For me, I'm going to watch them in the summer games. I'd be probably basketball. Basketball is a fun game to watch. You can watch kids playing basketball, and it's fun. You know,
I like the men's sprinting. You know, the 100 meters. That's always good. I like that. I like the wrestling, of course. Boxing's always a good one to watch. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of weird sports. Yeah,
I can barely get into professional boxing, much less Olympic boxing. Like, I mean, you got to be really dialed into what they're doing. They're so fucking. You know,
I mean, obviously, we live in America. Technical. So every time I turn the games on, it's always just the American teams. I'm like, where's the English? I said, well, if you want that, go back and watch it in bloody England, because NBC, all they cover is Team USA. But summer games stink. Well, thank you for that, Brian. Brian, show yourself. Why do the summer games stink in your lofty opinion?
I think he's saying in compared to the winter games.
To the winter games. The winter games are much more interesting things to watch. People put their lives in danger much more frequently during the winter games. They're constantly jumping off of things at 60 miles an hour down slopes and shit. I feel like that's much more exciting.
Nah, maybe. Well, the skiing's good. The bobsled's good. Well, outside of that, what are we talking about here?
I can be honest with you. I agree with Brian completely. As I'm thinking about it, I'd rather watch figure skating than anything on the summer games. Anything, literally.
I tell you what, I'm sure you've got an opinion about this. There was the Norwegian volleyball team. Did you see this? Did you see the story?
Yes, with the
chicks.
They
were fined because
they were.
Yeah. Do pull up the picture. I'd love to inspect just purely for
science.
Yeah, just for scientific reasons. No, the obviously, you know, women's volleyball outfits. I mean, I've never worn one, but they are very skimpy.
Rule. We could say they rule.
Yeah, they're great. They're a very good choice of attire. Whoever's choosing these outfits are choosing very well. But the Norwegian team took a stand against because they said they were a little bit sexist or a little bit revealing, if you will. And here we see on the picture there, obviously they're wearing cycling shorts or whatever you want to call them. Spanks, I don't know. But they were fined. They were fined by the Olympic Committee, I think. And not very much. It was a token fine. But still, they were fined for not sticking to the rules.
Yeah, well, show the picture of the old shorts. Yeah. They have them next to the guys. It's pretty fucked up because the guys are just wearing shorts and like a tank top, and the girls are wearing these skimpiest little tiny shorts you could ever imagine. But we said it before. Why do we want MMA in the summer games? Because it's fucking entertaining. Let me tell you something. I am tuning in to watch volleyball if those girls are wearing those little skimpy uniforms. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I must admit, you know, to be honest, in this day and age, it is kind of crazy.
It's crazy, obviously.
It is. No, of course you're kidding. I know you are, you know, and so am I. I prefer them in the skimpier outfits as well. But to be fair, if they want to choose not to wear them, first of all, get a grip. Okay. Why are you going to disrespect your sport? Okay. That's the reason you're flown out to Tokyo, this fine sport that you grew up playing on the beach, on the ocean, frolicking in the sun
as guys are walking by.
The beaches of, hey, nice summers in Norway. Very, very nice. Yeah. Nice women as well. You got to disrespect the sport like that. My God. Come on. Have a bit of respect.
Yeah. I would watch female beach volleyball. I'll watch it all day. In fact, we could turn this podcast into a female beach volleyball podcast. We could review games. We could really get into it. I'll really pay attention.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it. All right. Support for Believe You Me is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and they obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. So listen, what are we talking about? We're talking about trimming your balls. We're talking about being clean, streamlined, not looking like you're homeless down there. Because what do you do? A lot of times, I used to use a shaver for my head or my beard. I used to use that. Does the same thing. You think, why do I need a lawnmower? Well, because when I used to use the face trimmers, it did trim the hair, but it also took half of the fucking skin. Half of my scrotum was on my shaver. There was a lot of blood. It hurt. It stung in the shower for days on end, Lewis. Absolute days on end.
It's awful. That's really the big problem here. And I think that's a big differentiator people got to understand about the lawnmower. It truly is an incredible product. It makes it faster. When I used to do it, I used to either Bic it or I would use my hair trimmers. You have to be so careful. You have to get into every crevice. You have to get into between everything to make sure you don't hurt yourself. It took 20, 30 minutes at a time. This, it's nearly impossible to nick yourself. You could do it in the shower. I use mine in the shower because it's waterproof. It takes me literally less than a minute to trim myself down there, in and out, boom, zip, zap, zop. I'm out of the shower. I'm off, ready to go. Have a great life with confidence.
Smooth as a baby's bum. Guess what? It's got a nice little light. It's got a charging stand. The engine is bloody over, God knows, 7,000-8,000 revs per minute with quiet stroke technology. And as I said, it has a charging stand. So show your mower off loud and proud. Listen, trim the junk, but don't take away half of your scrotum. That's essentially what we're talking. You don't want to do yourself an injury when you're trimming your balls. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code BISPING20. You're going to get a whopping 20% off. These are fantastic. You would have seen them everywhere. Manscaped really is taking over the world when it comes to grooming your balls. I don't know if they have any competition, to be quite frank, but I do see Manscaped everywhere. And the reason
being...
To be quite frank,
I see what you did there.
No, but to be quite frank, they are one of the best in the business, even the best in the business. They're fantastic. There's a reason why you see them everywhere, and there's a reason why it's becoming so popular. Go to manscaped.com, use the code BISPING20, get 20% off. Your balls will thank me, your significant other will thank me, and if you know anyone else that's inspecting your balls, they may also thank you. But still, that's all I've got, your wife and your significant others, maybe your balls, but whatever. manscaped.com, BISPING20. We got to get into this stuff at the weekend. It was fantastic. Jeez, yeah. Louise. TJ Dillashaw, got to give him his respect, man. Coming back after all that time away, 2.5 years, came back. All right, we'll get into our opinions on the fight, whether or not we thought he should have won or lost. I thought he probably should have lost to Sandhagen, but still, either way, what a fucking fight. Incredible performance, showed a lot of heart, got bust up, got damaged, still kept moving forward. Sandhagen was sensational as well. Really, really good fight.
Yeah, TJ Dillashaw, not skipping a beat, but maybe even taking a page out of Dominic Cruz's book and coming back and looking better than ever. He looked incredible. Look.
I don't know. No. I disagree with that.
Okay. Well, please tell me why you disagree. No.
Yeah, I don't think he looks better than ever. I thought it was a great fight, and I thought he showed a lot of spirit. I thought he showed a lot of, that warrior mentality that you want to see from a fighter, certainly when he was bust up as much as he was. And then Dana shared some pictures of him afterwards. You know, his nose is definitely broken, big, massive gash. No doubt his legs are fucking killing him as well. But maybe to TJ's credit, you know, maybe it was more Sandhagen looking really good, because Sandhagen on the feet, because TJ is very well-rounded. He's got great wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and striking. You know, he's a triple threat. He can get the job done everywhere. He's really, really good. But he had to predominantly rely on a lot of grappling at the weekend, because Sandhagen was just too much on the feet, I thought. When you look at the strike stats, it was pretty even. But when you consider the damage that Sandhagen was doing with his strikes. As I say, I'm not being negative. I'm not disagreeing with you completely. He looks good. It was a great fight, but I don't think that was the best version that we saw of him.
Let me clarify. I think that Sandhagen, Sandhagen ranked number one and number two in the division,
two,
right?
I think two.
For him to come in after 2 years off and to have the and look, it was really, really close. It's razor close. For anybody to complain either way, for that fight, I understand the other fights there's some complaints for, but for that fight, you can't really complain. It was fucking super close, and it was really anybody's fight going into that fifth round. And that fifth round was a pick'em. You know what I'm saying? I think that it was. I think that TJ outstruck him 40-38. They had the same percentage of landed strikes, so it was so close going into that round. I'm just saying, considering how good Sandhagen really is and how good Sandhagen is, I thought TJ came in and didn't skip a beat, and I think that that's, you know, at the very least up for debate. Like, you know, TJ, he kept up with a constantly evolving sport, and he kept himself busy, kept himself active, and I think he looks great. I think he absolutely deserves to be right there in conversation for a title shot.
Brian, well, he's going to have to be now because he just beat Sandhagen, simple as that. But Brian, I emailed the strike stats just bring them up on screen, please. They should be in the BYN pod email. Remember, if you've got any videos, send them into bynpod@gmail.com. Round one. So let's have a look. Yeah, so Sandhagen, Corey Sandhagen, 15 of 25, 13 of 26. Round two, 26 of 55 compared to 12 of 41 for Sandhagen again. So he was ahead in round one. He was ahead in round two. Round three, 23 of 53 compared to 26 of 52 for Dillashaw. So Dillashaw's ahead there. But round four, 26 to 19 significant strikes landed in favor of Sandhagen. And round five, 38 to 40 in favor of Dillashaw. So I think there, when you look at that, I mean, that shows on paper, 3-2 for Sandhagen, but
well, the takedowns as well. TJ landed two takedowns.
Yeah, I was just going to get to that. There was a lot of control time from TJ. See, the problem was for Sandhagen, what he kept doing was fucking throwing spinning attacks. It was stupid. I found myself every time. I wasn't rooting against TJ, but I was really enjoying the performance of Sandhagen. The footwork was really nice. The side-to-side movement, the in and out. He was stepping off on the angles, picking shots well. I think, was it the straight left or the straight right? I'm not sure if it's a southpaw or orthodox. Whichever one it was, the one that opened up the court, I think it was a left hand, the straight left. That thing couldn't miss. He was throwing that all night, kept landing it time and time again. Beautiful shot. But then he'd fucking swing. Here we go again, looking at some other stats there. That's the one I sent through. But yeah, whatever. It was very, very close. But when you look at the damage done, so there's two. When you look at the numbers, it's close. When you look at the numbers, it's close. But then there's two other things to consider. Number one, the damage that Sandhagen did. I mean, come on, at the end of the fight, TJ was a mess. But then on the flip side for TJ is the grappling. He did get some takedowns. He did have some control time. But a lot of the time, he was just kind of taking the back. Sandhagen, every time, would present his back. I mean, he was fucking spinning all the time. Spinning attacks are great. I mean, obviously, he knocked out Marlon Moraes with it. Yeah, it feels good. And obviously, that's a part of his arsenal. He threw a flying knee and knocked out Frankie Edgar again. You get that feedback.
And he did. I remember in the fifth, he landed it right on his chin, spinning back fist. Yeah. Like, really, really nasty. It was beautiful. It was actually, I was impressed with it, but good.
Yeah, that one was good. But the problem is he was doing it too much. You can't do it. They're sacrifice maneuvers. Like when you do a throw, that's a sacrifice throw. That's when you're putting yourself down on the floor. When you're throwing a spinning attack, you got to turn. And momentarily, you're giving your back up. You're giving your back
to up. To a wrestler. To a high level wrestler.
To a fucking wrestler that's trying to close the distance. TJ's the shorter guy with the shorter reach. You know what I mean? And he's trying to get on the inside to Corey Sandhagen. So to do that, he's got to draw out the attack. He's got to use feints. He's got to use head movement. He's got to shoot a double leg, whatever it is. Right? But when a guy's jumping in the air towards you, throwing flying knees, if it lands perfect, great. If it doesn't, you're presenting yourself to be clinched. And then when you turn your back to throw these spinning attacks, you're turning your back on someone that's allowing them to grab you. It kind of is crazy. And I think when he looks back at that, when he watches it back, he'll kind of maybe regret throwing so much spinning attacks. Spinning attacks are great, but they've got to be used few and far between. You can't just fucking start spinning like a maniac. You know what right. I mean? You got to pick him. And a lot of time you want to do it as you're going forward. When you've got your man on the retreat and they're backing up, when you spin and throw like a straight spinning back kick, you'll cover a lot of ground. So it's good there. But if you're backing up and someone's trying to clinch you, don't fucking spin when someone's trying to clinch.
So are you saying right here and now that the spinning attacks by Corey Sandhagen cost him the fight?
100%. If he didn't throw the spinning attacks, he would have won that fight because right. that allowed TJ. By the way, I'm not taking away from TJ. I thought TJ fought a fantastic fight. And to your point, he did look good. I just didn't think the best version we ever saw, but that was fine. 2.5 years away against a really
high. I pull
things
out of my ass sometimes. Maybe you're going to
Yeah, well, yeah, who cares? I'm not holding you to it. You know, I was like, hey, everyone, look at this. No, it was a really good fight. Right, but the clinching and some of the takedowns is what snagged it for Dillashaw. The strikes were really close, but it was the wrestling, obviously. So if he wasn't spinning and giving his back up, he would have won that fight. Yeah. He would have got his win bonus, and he'd be next in line for a title shot.
Was it on the judges' scorecards? I didn't remember. Was it actually 2-2 going into the fifth?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Maybe Harrington can look that up and give us a bit of feedback on that, but I'm not entirely sure. But you got to think, well, listen, it was 3-2. You know what I mean? On most of the judges' scorecards, it was a split decision for Dillashaw. Great fight. You know, much respect to both men. Absolutely respect to both of them. It was a tremendous performance from both guys. I would love to see the fight again. A rematch would be good, but TJ got it. God bless him. Doesn't matter, right? Judges fuck up. Judges get it right. You can't bitch about it. When it goes to the judges' scorecards, you just got to accept it. Sandhagen did as well. There wasn't too much bitching out of him. He wasn't calling it a robbery or anything like that. That word gets thrown around so much, by the way, robbery. It was a fucking close fight. If you disagree with it, you can disagree. Doesn't mean it was a robbery. It was a fucking close fight. The judges actually had a pretty bad night as well. We'll get into Miranda Maverick versus fucking Macy Barber in a little bit. No doubt Harrington can come in and talk all about Macy Barber for us. He'll love that. But yeah, the judges didn't have a good one there. But yeah, great, great fight. So TJ Dillashaw, in essence now, is the number one contender. I mean, obviously, you've got Aljamain and Piotr Jan. They've got to figure that out. I think they're going to fight in Fight Island on the co-main event of Glover versus Jan, right? I think that's, Jan Blachowicz. Whoever wins that fight, I would imagine that TJ Dillashaw gets to fight next. That's pretty impressive. I mean, coming back and fighting Sandhagen was always risky and ballsy, but with great risk comes great reward. And look at this. He's back at the top of the pecking order.
Yeah, and I mean, look, for TJ Dillashaw, there's nothing else. You're only going to come back and fight a top contender. You know, his last fight, did he lose his title in his last fight? He did, right, against Cejudo?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Oh, no, he didn't lose it. No, he didn't, because he went down to 125.
Oh, right.
Trying to get the flyweight belt, which would have been good. But, listen, what do you think? Piotr Jan, no disrespect to Aljamain Sterling, but looking how the first fight went with Aljamain and Piotr Jan, if that fight was to continue, I think we would have saw Piotr Jan win that fight, okay? So let's just assume that Piotr Jan wins against Aljamain in the rematch. We don't know that's going to happen, but if we assume that, TJ Dillashaw versus Piotr Jan, I think I got TJ as the champion.
Maybe, very well. I mean, look, honestly, Piotr Jan's incredible. I agree with you. I don't think Aljamain's going to be able to beat him. We'll see. Who knows? I mean, look, now that they face each other, Aljamain Sterling has a lot more data than he had going into that other fight, right? So he can come back, reassess, and, you know, who knows? He might just come out and fucking smoke him, because Aljo's incredible. But yeah, dude, TJ Dillashaw, he's probably odds-on favorite against anybody who's going to fight in that division.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We mentioned it a moment ago. There was what was the co-main event? Was that Hoolan Pavia taking on Kyla Phillips? That was the co-main, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a fight that was. Tremendous. Yeah. I mean, Kyla Phillips started really, really good. He was beating the fuck out of him to start. Very, very exciting fight. Good back and forth action. Piver got the job done in the end. Got the takedowns, and I think he got the only knockdown of the fight as well. Darren Elkins beat Derek Minna. Darren Elkins, I mean, come on. I mean, that man is one of the toughest motherfuckers on the face of the planet. I mean, he's been around the UFC so long. I mean, God bless him. When you look at Darren Elkins, you know, you can see the damage. He's got the damage tattooed on his chest. You know, with the way he fights, the man has taken so much damage over the course of his career, and he will never, ever quit. He's the definition of a fighter. He really is. Is he someone that you might want to bring home to meet your grandma on a Sunday afternoon? Probably not. You know what I mean? But he's a sweetheart of a man. He really is. I hung out with him after his last fight. Great guy. He was absolutely hammered, though, but, you know, rightly so after a fight. But, man, gotta love that guy. Gotta love the heart and the spirit.
Yeah. What did you think about the? I don't want to move on real quick from the co-main event. What did you think about the decision?
Oh, yeah. So it was a tricky one, because I had some food show up at that moment in time. So that's why I skimmed past the co-main event pretty quickly. Thanks, Lewis.
I think the debate was that Paiva, even I think DC said it going in. Like the last couple minutes of that last round, he said Paiva needs to finish this fight in order to win. He was losing every exchange, the grappling, the striking, and it was a great fight, great performance, obviously gutsy performance, incredible, really exciting fight. But I think that was one of the ones that stood out where people were like, yeah, dude, he didn't fucking win that fight.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the theme of the night, wasn't it? I must admit, as I said, at that moment in time, I had a chicken tikka masala, a garlic naan, some poppadoms, and...
I love some poppadom crackers.
Oh, man, I got a nice Indian curry. I hadn't had that for a long time at the weekend. So, yeah, that arrived. My mouth is watering, as we speak now. I'm starving.
I'm starving. Right
I'm fucking. Now. I'm so hungry. I am so hungry right now. But yeah, so I didn't really pay attention to that one because my food had came.
Hey, let's take a quick moment and thank Blue Chew for supporting today's show. Blue Chew is such an incredible product that is helping men really enhance their sexual performance in the bedroom. You've heard of these things before. You've heard of dick pills, okay? We've heard of Viagra and Cialis and all these things that you can get. Well, guess what? Blue Chew has the same active ingredient as those drugs, except it's available for cheaper, faster, and in a more convenient way.
Yeah, listen, Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no waiting in line at the doctor's office, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, no picking up the pills for your penis from the very, very attractive lady that you've been eyeing for a while. But every time you go and see her at the pharmacy, she hands you those pills. She's like, I like you. You're a sweet guy. You drive a nice car. You make me smile. But you obviously cannot rock my world. That isn't going to happen because Blue Chew just turns up on your doorstep. Blue Chew tablets are also made in the USA and they prepare and ship directly to your door. So it is cheaper than a pharmacy. At the end of the day, that's what you want. You want a good service. You want it discreet. You want it quick. And you also want it cheap. If you want all those things, if you want a little performance enhancement for the bedroom, and why wouldn't you? Let's be honest. And you want to combine the same ingredients as the market leaders, Viagra and Cialis, at a lower price, then my God, all you got to do is go to bluechew.com and use the promo code BELIEVE. You're going to get your first month for free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. So yeah, listen. We're going to give you an enhancement and we're going to give it to you for free, 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 free. Go to bluechew.com, use the promo code BELIEVE. First month for free. All you got to do is pay the shipping. Not bad. Not bad at all. Okay. Where were we? I did watch this one though closely. Macy Barber, Miranda Maverick. Harrington, we know you love a bit of Macy Barber. Come on here and give us your honest take of that fight, please. If you're around, if you're alive. Is yeah. he here? Is he around? Is he alive? Oh, there he is.
Ooh, he loves Macy Barber. I wish he had a facey barber.
That's okay. A good one, Lewis. You do need a face barber. What is going on, Harrington? You look like bloody... What do you look like? You look like someone. I'm trying to think who it is you look like. Other than
he looks like my ball sack before I use my
manscape. Exactly. Manscape. I don't know about that. What did you think of the Macy Barber fight, though?
I mean, look, these judges have a real hard job, and I would never be one to disagree with them. If they saw it for Macy Barber, God bless them.
And that's it. That's your objectional input from your mixed martial arts mind.
Wow, Harrington.
I mean, yep, she was. She went out there. She put on a performance over three rounds and got her hand raised. That's the. I mean.
Hey, listen, you know, God bless her. Good for her. You know what I mean? She needed the win, right? No, but seriously, no, good for her. You can't be mad, just like in the main event, right? You can't be mad at the judges, really. It's a close fight. I thought the judges fucked up in the main event. By all accounts, they messed up in the co-main. I thought the Macy Barber Miranda Maverick won. I didn't like that either. I thought Miranda Maverick won that fight. I thought she was really good. I think Macy definitely won the third round. I think she knew she was behind in the third round, turned on the pressure, and I'm trying to remember the exact sequences, what went down. But still, I had Miranda winning quite comfortably round one and round two. Macy turned it on in round three, so that was good. She showed a lot of will. She showed a lot of spirit. You know, she knew she had to, you know, fight back hard. But still, Listen, I don't want to take away from somebody's win. It's always tricky. When you're sitting here saying this from the luxury of a chair in a podcast, I thought she didn't win. That's a little mean for us to say. I don't want to take away from the hard
devil's advocate.
Devil's avocado.
The fuck doesn't matter what we say. She's fine. She got the win, undeservedly so. So it's a net positive for her. Michael Bisping says, you know what? I don't really agree with that decision. That's the worst she has to deal with. It's all right.
All three judges gave Maverick the first. All three gave Barber the third. Yeah. Well, Maverick clearly won the first. And I thought Barber won the third. So obviously it's round number two that's in question. Just don't give any details to that round. The round in question, Harrington. Thank you. We said that a minute ago. She won the first. She lost the third. But whatever. She needed that win, though. Macy Barber needed that win. Obviously, she came to the UFC talking about becoming the UFC's youngest champion ever. And then she started losing a few. I think she lost to Roxanne. Did she lose her next one as well? Was she on a two-fight skid, I think, going into that one? Either way, Miranda Maverick, I thought Miranda was going to beat her a lot easier than what she did. Obviously, she didn't even beat her. But Miranda Maverick, or Miranda Fear the Maverick. I like the fighting style. Not so keen on the nickname, if I'm honest. Well, what do you think? Or is it clever? Am I way off here? Fear the Maverick.
Fear the
Maverick.
That's her nickname, is Fear the.
Her name is Miranda Maverick. So it's Miranda Fear the Maverick. So is it really good or am I just being mean?
No, I hate it. Now, yeah, now we can trash her. Now we need to really lay into her. Miranda, Miranda, what would be a, let's give her a better nickname. Why don't you give her a better nickname right now? Because there's got to be better. It's an M and an M, so it's got to be another M.
Miranda the Machine Maverick.
Miranda the Machete Maverick.
Miranda Maverick the Maniac.
The Machete Miranda Maverick.
Miranda the Panda Maverick. Miranda Ashwagandha Maverick.
Miranda Give a Hand Maverick.
Miranda I Don't Understand Her.
Malicious Miranda Maverick.
Ooh, Malicious Miranda. No, malicious. Manivolous.
Maleficent.
Any other word for you them?
Trying to say Maleficent is hilarious.
Maleficent. I don't know what Maleficent means. It's just a movie with Angelina Jolie. What does Maleficent mean?
It's the name of the witch in Sleeping Beauty, Maleficent.
Is it really? What a bitch. All right. Anyway, Miranda Maverick lost that fight. Well done to Macy Barber. Well done to everyone competing. And TJ Dillashaw, man, incredible. Good job. Yeah. Good job.
And
good
shout out to Mickey Gall. He got it done. Oh. Underdog.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
friend of the show.
No, he looked good. We caught him. Who did he fight? What's his face? Jordan Williams.
Yeah.
Diabetes guy. Yeah. He was on the contender a couple of times.
Jordan Diabetes guy Williams.
Yeah, let's not call him that. Bad nickname. Bad nickname. But no. Jordan Williams is. He showed. I commentated his fight on the contender, and he showed a lot of heart. So I thought Mickey was in for a tough night, but he made short work of him. You know, what's his face? Williams started off pretty good. We got a little reckless, ran in, boom, ran onto a right hand. And that was kind of the end of it from there. Mickey got him out with a good rear naked choke. Well done, Mickey.
Shout out to Mickey Gall. Shout out to Team Rattlesnake.
Maleficent, Brian just adds in there. What was the relevance of putting in Maleficent, Brian?
Maleficent?
Brian? Maleficent. Causing harm or destruction, especially by supernatural means.
I like that. Maleficent Miranda Maverick.
Maleficent Miranda Maverick.
Guys, tweet at Miranda Maverick and let her know that we're renaming her.
Yeah. Sorry, Miranda. We respect you as a fighter, but not as somebody that names yourself. Anyway, lots of news going on. This news just broke. Go on, Lewis. You were going to say.
Well, I was going to. You just changed the subject. Who do you think has the worst and the best nickname in MMA?
Oh, God. I mean, there's some bad ones. There's some bad ones. I kind of liked my one, The Count, just to talk about myself for a second. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Because you don't see too many of them. And I said to Callum, we were having this conversation recently. He's probably not going to fight, but you never know. Maybe he does. I said, if you fight Callum and you get in the UFC, you are Callum the Count Bisping. And he's like, no way. I'm doing my own thing. I'm like, son, you little prick. You carry on the family tradition. It would be cool. The next generation, and you are technically a Polish count, just like myself. You call yourself Callum, the Count Bisping. And he's He will have no part in it.
I got his name.
Go on.
Callum, the better Bisping.
It's actually pretty good. It's pretty good. Harrington O'Brien, just look up worst nicknames in the UFC while we just fill for a second, because there is some bad ones.
Yeah, there's some bad ones. What do you think is a good one? Which ones do you like?
What do I like? Oh, I like Israel Adesanya, the last Stylebender. That's cool.
It's unique.
It's very, very cool. I don't like the ones that are too like, ooh, the Beast or the Pitbull. Ooh, the Slayer. Yeah, the Pitbull. The Pitbulls, come on, it's been done to death. Andre Arlovski, Thiago Alves, and many
I like others. The Iceman. The Iceman Chocolate L, that was fucking cool.
The Iceman's great. You're right. That is a fantastic nickname. That is really, really
good. The Natural
good.
Randy Couture, that's a cool one.
That was good. Who else? Chris Weidman, did he have one? No. Oh, the All-American, I think that was his, was it?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not sure.
Frank Twinkletoes Trigg, that's great. They can also be silly sometimes, too.
Twinkletoes was my that's my old YouTube account, was Twinkletoes Tommy. And that was my email address for the longest time, Twinkletoes Tommy, because that's what people used to call me when I got on the dance floor. It's old Twinkletoes Tommy. Look at this guy. Look at him go. But bad nicknames. I can't think of any.
Ashley Ash Cream Man Grimshaw.
Is that really her nickname? Ash Cream Man?
Oh, that's probably a guy.
It can't be. It can't
be. Put it in the comments below what your favorite and what your least favorite nickname is, and we'll pick the whoever has the best pair, we'll give a free t-shirt to.
I'm trying to think. There's some bad ones. There is some bad ones. But anyway, the breaking news just from Brett Okamoto from ESPN. He says, and then bring up that picture that I sent through, Harrington, or don't bother. What is it? I'll bring it up. He said there is a date for Colby Covington versus Kamaru Usman. Hold on. Let's have a look. Brett Okamoto, here it is. The rematch is on. Usman versus Covington 2 will headline the UFC pay-per-view event in November per Dana White. Official date and venue TBD, but New York City is a strong possibility.
Yeah, that'd they do New great. York every November, right?
Yeah, they do. They do. And it just occurred to me recently, because I only do like the few, you know, every now and again I work for ESPN, because I don't do the pay-per-views commentary, but I do some of the pay-per-views for ESPN. And I forgot about New York. I was like, oh, send me to fucking New York. Come on. I want to go cover that. In November, that's a good time to go to New York. I love it.
Yeah. I hope it's not the same date as my fight. I don't want the UFC to have to compete with Ellis Mania. I don't know. Maybe they're going to counter-program us. I don't know.
No, they'll cancel it. There's no way, Lewis. They're not that dumb. They're not going to go head-to-head with that. Never in a million years. Covington versus Usman. Great. Do you know what? They've been talking about that fight for a long time, and I'm glad that it's going to go down. It'll be a really good fight, but I'm glad that it's going to happen. I mean, November seems like a long way away, but it's not. Jesus Christ, I can't believe we're almost in August. It's absolutely insane. Where is this year going? But then the reason I'm happy, I mean, of course, it's a great fight. Does Covington necessarily deserve it? Maybe not. Probably not. But whatever. The first fight was fantastic. It was a really good fight. And we know the next one's going to be good. But then after that, once it's done, then the division can start to get cleared up. And the reason I'm saying that is because Leon Edwards needs to get a title shot. Gilbert Burns is calling him out. There's a lot of, I don't know. I mean, Kamaru's been very active. You can't, it's not Usman's fault. He's fighting every few months by the looks of things. He's keeping a very, very hectic schedule. He's knocking people out. He just knocked out Masvidal. He's going to fight Covington again. But there's a lot of good fights at welterweight for him as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't blame Kamaru. Also, the Covington fight rematch. Number one, it's Covington who's going to sell pay-per-views. He's somebody that people want to watch get his ass kicked. And it's a rematch on top of that. So it's going to do big numbers, obviously. Reported targeted date is November 6th, apparently, for the Garden or for New York. Or I guess this is all speculative. But, yeah, I completely get it. I think that Kamaru, in a weird way, I think he needs he just needs a few more big names and a few more scalps to really get him over, because he's in, you know, we've talked about this before, he might be number one pound for pound best in the world, right? But I also feel like he's not somebody that people are super excited with, or there's not a ton of buzz whenever a Kamaru fight's happening just yet.
I don't know. I know what you're saying, because for the longest time, a lot of his fights were kind of a smothering style and they went to a lot of decisions, but just lately he's stopping everyone. Remember, he knocked out Colby. What else did he do? He stopped Gilbert Burns, knocked out Masvidal cold. Do you know what I'm saying? He's not a boring fighter, far from it. Definitely when he came into the UFC, he was using his wrestling heavy style. Fair enough. You gotta play to your strengths. But as he's working with Trevor Whitman, he obviously worked with Henry Hooft for a long time. He was a great striking coach as well. He's getting better and better. Every time we see Kamaru, he gets better. I mean, against Masvidal, he just went out there in his last fight and fucking boxed him. I don't even think he went for a single takedown. I do believe that is what threw Masvidal off to a certain degree, you know, because he is the complete threat. You got to worry about his takedowns. And in the first fight, Masvidal and Usman, it was the takedowns and the clinching that cost him the fight. So I think Masvidal, and again, this is it's not Masvidal's fault. It's not Usman's fault. It's the beauty of mixed martial arts. It's information overload. There is so much going on, and you're anticipating what's going to happen. And Masvidal, I believe, was waiting for him to clinch. And then that just opens the door for Usman to fucking throw punches. That's the way it fucking goes. That's why the best form of defense, they say, is attack. But it really is, because if you just say, fuck this, I don't care what you're going to throw, I'm going to come at you, I'm going to swing, I'm going to kick, I'm going to play my game, I'm going to fight my fight. I couldn't give a fuck if you're shooting or whatever. Obviously, that's the best way to fight, and it'll get you the most success. But you got to be very, very good to do that. You know what I mean? On paper, great. Go forward. Beat the fuck out of him. Not that easy. But if you can do that and you can put their skill set out of your mind and throw caution to the wind, you'll be successful. But you're going to have the skills to do that.
Yeah, no, you're for sure. And honestly, you know, Usman, it's not, I wasn't even saying that it was boring. I just think that, I don't know exactly what it is, but there just doesn't seem the same sort of excitement around an Usman fight as there is around some of the other champions. I can't really put my finger on why.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying. If you go back a while ago, like when he beat Tyrone Woodley and first became the champion. But since then, I think he's done really well. I mean, who did he defend against? Was Covington his first defense? Maybe. Or did he have one before that? But then he's beat Masvidal twice. He's beat Gilbert Burns, who was the number one contender. He finished him. They were great fights. I'm looking at the rankings here. I mean, realistically, Covington's number two. They're going to fight. Gilbert Burns is calling out Leon Edwards. They've got to do that on the co-main event. The co-main event of that fight, they'll miss a trick. Obviously, the UFC have done very well without my input. But the perfect co-main event on that fight night would be Gilbert Burns to take on Leon Edwards. And whoever wins that fight gets to fight Colby or Kamaru, or whoever wins, probably Kamaru, again. That's the perfect way to do it. But then I'm just hearing, because I was chatting with the BT Sport crew before, we were talking about this, Leon Edwards is apparently taking some time out. Doesn't want to fight again until next year. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Leon Edwards needs to have somebody in his ear. He needs urgency. He needs to come and knock somebody out right now. He's coming off the heels of this Nate Diaz fight.
He's just had 2 years out and he's saying he's taking some time out. It's crazy. I'm a fan. I'm a countryman. I like the way he fights. I think he's technically brilliant. But I do believe, with respect, unless there's something going on in the background that I don't know about, if there's some kind of family thing or maybe he has an injury or whatever, you know, maybe there is something like that. Maybe he's injured, but he doesn't want to say and be public. If that's the case, then fair enough. But if he's just taking a little bit of time out on the sidelines, you got to strike when the iron's hot, man. Okay, you just beat Diaz and there was a little bit of, scary moment in the fifth round, but whatever, you beat him. It was a decisive victory. Continue to grow off that momentum. Don't disappear again for a while.
Yeah, it really was, to be honest with you. It was just the story of the night that Nate caught him with that one shot. Nobody really gives a fuck, right? So the smoke cleared. Leon Edwards won that fight. That is the information that everyone's moved forward with. I know that everyone sort of talked like, oh my God, if Nate had more time. That was a lot of Nate Diaz nut huggers. Let's get real. Leon Edwards won that fight. And he won that fight decisively. And you said it exactly perfectly. Strike while the iron's hot. Right now, it's not like people are clamoring or jumping out of their seats to see Leon Edwards fight, but he's got buzz. He's hardcore fans know that he's truly the number one contender, and he's the guy that should be fighting for the title. So you have an opportunity right now to fight a guy who doesn't have the title with a decisive victory, get a big name under your belt. Gilbert Burns is incredible. He's got that awesome victory he just had over Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. That is an incredible fight and a great storyline for the night. I like when they do that, when they put the number two and the number three guy fighting on the same card as the championship.
Well, the good news is as well, let's just say, for example, if Leon wins, Leon could then, as long as he's okay, could get in the cage and challenge Kamaru or Colby, whoever wins. And that's always great. I always like it when they do that. They don't do it enough for my liking. It is maybe a little bit WWE, but it is cool. It is great. But you know what? Yeah, I love it. I love it. It hypes up the fight big time. You get him face to face. One of the best ones was Rampage versus Rashad. Remember that one? Rampage, like, you're going to see some black on black crime. Yeah. It was great. It was good. Just a moment ago, you were talking about Nate Diaz when he got rocked. Sorry, Leon Edwards, when he got rocked off Nate Diaz. Do you know who was very concerned at that moment in time when that happened?
Who?
The mother of Leon Edwards. Or perhaps the grandma of Leon Edwards. I'm not sure. I think it was the mother. Or maybe the grandma. I'm not sure. She's right about now. We needed to roll the tape, Brian. Right about now. Right? Because Harrington put this in the notes last week, but it's a funny little thing. Yeah. Brian, roll the tape.
Because
what did she say?
Oh, mate, she's because the Jamaican women are
she's that proper, Jamaican, yeah. You know. She's watching it. So when I got rocked by Diaz, when I came back, I was like, Mom, what did you do? Like, what happened? She's like, I opened the window. I started screaming, help! I was like, Mom, you got it. So I started screaming, help.
Screaming fucking help out the window. Help! I can't do it these days. I don't want to do it. I'm going to get fucking cancelled for doing a Jamaican accent. But yeah, bless her. Bless her. That's funny. My mom, when she used to watch my fights, Well, not my, even my fights, my tournaments when I was a kid. She'd fucking tell me off. You're a bad wee bastard, Michael. You're a bad wee bastard doing that to that poor boy. I'm like, Mom, what are you talking about? They were going to kick the fuck out of me if I didn't do it to them.
There was there's an interesting thing I watched. I guess you were you talking to Ariel? It was a video, the little clip that went viral. Ariola Hawani.
Go on, go on. What was the clip?
You were talking about how you weren't sure that Callum has the meanness in him to do high level MMA, and you the way you broke it down, it was like a really articulate point, right? And you just reminded me of that with your mom saying, you know, how could you do that, Michael? But like, you hurt this guy, and he's got a broken eye socket, he's bloody. And it's like he's down on the ground. You have to go in there and you have to start driving your elbows into him even more and causing him more pain. And you have to have a disconnect from, like, there's like an emotion there. I remember when I fought Ryan O'Neal in Ellis Mania and I was ground and pounding him, I started feeling bad in the moment. I was like, dude, I'm fucking hitting him really hard right now. And I don't actually have any ill will toward this guy, you know, and that disconnect, there's something to it. So I just sort of reminded me of that. And maybe if you could just elaborate a little bit on it, because I think it's such a great point. It's such an interesting point.
Yeah, no, because obviously a lot of people ask about Callum all the time. Is he going to fight? And I think he's probably have one or two amateur fights, even though he'll struggle finding an amateur fight with my last name and given his wrestling credentials. But still, it is a common question. And you know, only the future will tell if he fights or not. The reason I said that about him, I'm sure, you know, he can learn the skills and he can wrestle and he's a competitor and he's got the drive and the commitment and all the rest of it. That's been shown time and time again. But the question I have is like, has he got that nastiness? Has he got that meanness? You know, I think I've said it before. Mick Maynard, the matchmaker, was telling me, you know, all you guys, you've all got to fucking screw loose, the men and the women. He said, even the ones that are supposedly normal, when you deal with them enough, you figure it out. Oh, yeah, there it is. There's the screw loose. He says, every single one of you, there's something off with you all. Of course, it's not a normal thing to step into a cage and beat the crap out of another human being and to enjoy it. Like when I was fighting, this is what I mean with Callum. Callum's a nice kid, as is James, as are most people. Most people, I believe most human beings are inherently good. You know what I mean? Most people don't have violent tendencies, but they don't have violent urges, you know? I did when I was younger. I fucking enjoyed it. And when I was fighting, if I was fighting someone and boom, 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 you're landing with shots. And I look at them and he's got a look of desperation on his face and his fucking eyes out here and his nose is fucking sideways and there's blood coming out of his mouth. It turns me on to grab him by the fucking hair and go boom, fucking knee him in the face as hard as I can. Do you know what I mean? But that's like, not a lot of people can do that.
Crazy.
No, it is. It is
crazy.
Is that, oh, you're fucking hurt. You're hurt. You're hurt, aren't you? Well, guess what, motherfucker? Now you're about to get a lot more hurt.
You're bang! More hurt.
And then, but the referee doesn't stop it. I'm like, oh, well, fucking great. Bang, 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 bang.
You look at the referee, you're not going to stop it? Okay.
I'm just going to fucking do this all day, motherfucker. All fucking day.
And then, you like the guy.
Oh, he's awesome. That's the point that I'm getting at. Do you know what I mean? Like I was remember one night I was in bed and it came on the TV, my fight versus Kung Lee. And Lucas has never really seen any of my fights. Just recently I said, do you want to watch one of my fights? He's like, no, I'm not interested. But still the Kung Lee fight came on and poor old Kung Lee, he was a mess at the end of that fight. And Lucas was watching it and he was like, oh my God, Dad, how can you do that to someone? I could not do that to somebody. Mm. And that's what I'm talking about with Callum. I believe he's got the competitive spirit. I believe he's got all that stuff, you know, and you don't necessarily have to come from a disadvantaged background to be able to compete in combat sports. Prime example right now, Logan Paul, Jake Paul. You know what I'm saying? You don't need that, but you do need that little bit of a nastiness in you. You do need to be able to disconnect from the humanity of taking a brother, a human being, and doing as much fucking damage to his face as you possibly can. And it's not a normal thing.
Yeah, it really isn't. It's, I don't have that nastiness in me. I don't like, when I was a kid and I would get into a street fight, and I would get into a lot of street fights. It wasn't like I didn't get into fights, but it was like more like, put your dukes up. And we'd, you know, boom, boom, boom. And when one guy went down, it's like, you had enough, buddy? It wasn't this, like you see certain fights, and I'm sure that was much more closer to what happened when you were in your youth, where it's like a guy will go down and then three guys stomp him out, or another guy, you just keep on hitting him, or you kick him in the back of the fucking skull. And these guys are trying to hurt each other versus, I think when I was getting into fights when I was a kid, I was just trying to be like, no, I'm tougher than you. And we're having a dispute right now. We're settling this with fisticuffs. It wasn't violence necessarily.
And by the way, I'm not saying that everybody that takes part in mixed martial arts is a thug. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we definitely do have the ability and have no problem with it in doing that kind of damage to another human being. And so, and that was the question you brought up, Callum. I don't know if he has that. I don't know if he could do that. I mean, I think you could. I think you could. You know what I mean? If you were in a fight against Jason Ellis and he was beat to fuck, but the referee wasn't stopping it. I mean, there's been a lot of these cases over the years. I mean, everyone listening to this right now, you're in a professional, let's say you all turn professional. You train for a fight.
By the way, this is a professional fight. This is going to be sanctioned by the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
Yeah. Oh, no, sure. But I'm saying everyone else listen to this hypothetical scenario right now, whether it's Lewis, whether it's John, whether it's Roland Wixler from Germany, whoever it is, you're listening to this podcast right now. You decide I'm going to have a fight. Okay. You train, you get ready for the fight. It's fight night. You're winning the fight. You're beating him up pretty good. The referee stinks of cigarettes and alcohol. Okay, maybe he was out drinking last night. Maybe no nonsense fucking Keith Peterson doesn't give a shit. Maybe he doesn't like the guy that you're beating up, and you're beating him up pretty good, but the referee's not stepping in, and he's a mess, and his nose is sideways, and he's got eyes are so swollen he can't see out of it, and his lips all busted, and there's blood pouring out. Could you still just continue punching him in the fucking face until the referee says no?
I'm literally going to, but it's I'm not happy about it. I did that in my fight with Ryan O'Neal. I was hitting him, and I was going like the thuds that were like hitting him. I just remember in the moment it was kind of chilling. I was like, damn, dude, I'm really fucking wailing on the side of this guy's face. And it was like, there was no referee stopping it. I'll tell you right now. And the referee didn't step in that moment. And I remember just having compassion in the moment and being like, this is brutal. I didn't stop though. It was, you know, he was going to do the same thing to me in that moment and adrenaline kicks in, but it was a conscious moment. I remember just thinking about that. And I think that that's how most people would be. I think most people don't get enjoyment out of like, oh, dude, I'm hurting him more. Yeah. And I think that's definitely a mixed martial artist or a fighter mentality, I should say.
Yeah. I remember when I won my first fight on the Ultimate Fighter, Ultimate Fighter 3, 2005, I think, Christian Rothermel, right? And I beat him up pretty good. You know, and he had a ton of stitches in his face and all the rest of it. But I was young and I wanted to know the extent of the damage that I'd done. And I was asking this production assistant, I was like, well, what did he look like? What did he look like? And he was horrified. Because I don't know. Listen, at that moment in time, I mean, that version of me doesn't exist anymore. Do you know what I mean? But never mind fucking Blue Chew. That shit would get me right turned on. Do you know what I mean? But that's what we sign up for. That's what we're there to do. And that's what I'll, and that's my skill. And we're going to fight. And you think you can beat me. And I'm going to leave you in a pile of your own piss and blood. This doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me a psycho. It just makes me a good fighter. But I want to know. I want to know. What was the extent of his injuries, please?
And I think you also become desensitized to it. Because I think, doing it and having experience. And you've had stitches. You've been bleeding. You've had bones broken. Your nose shattered. So it's like. Like the whole world, it's a very brutal, really fucking tough world that I think you have to become desensitized to. I don't know that day one you walked out like that. It wasn't a natural thing. I think because you were so involved with training and fighting, and this was a regular part of your life, you probably, by the time you were on the Ultimate Fighter and you won that fight with Christian Rothermel, at that point you were just a completely different person. You have no, that you see blood and you're like, yeah, if I see somebody bleeding in public, I'm like, oh my God, somebody help that person. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, sure, exactly. And that's still, it's amazing that the sport is becoming so popular is what it is, because it is a fantastic sport. And the way that the UFC wraps it up, and there's other people that do a great job as well. You know, I see ONE FC, they're in these notes down here. They're talking a bit of shit. They're popping off the chatting shit, saying that they have the best fighters, but still there's a lot of good promotions. Without a shadow of a doubt, UFC is the market leader, and that's just the facts. But there's a lot of great promotions that wrap it up really, really well. But when it comes down to it, when you strip away all of that, you take away the bells and whistles and the lights and the smoke machines and the production that the UFC put on, it's two men in their underwear beating the fuck out of one another. And it just shows how well the UFC have done for this to be so accepted. Remember, this when this came out, you couldn't even watch it on pay-per-view. You know, it was only a few states, I believe, that allowed it to be shown. You know what I mean? And now it's on ESPN. It's on every fucking country in the world almost. It just shows that how far it has come, because when you strip all that away, it is still a very, very tough, violent, shocking sport. But that's why people love it as well.
So, all right. So you obviously, you've become desensitized to this to a very large degree. We all have, right? So from even from watching the first UFC to now, right? I'm way less, like the first UFC was brutal. You watch some of those fights and now it's like, that ain't shit compared to some of the things we've seen. We just watched Chris Weidman snap his leg in half. That's crazy, right?
Snap his leg in half.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. You have to go to that level now to really get us to cringe. Like blood and cuts and gashes don't really do it anymore. What about with your son specifically? Right? Could you watch your son? Could you corner him? Could you coach him? Could you watch him be punched in the face, bleeding? You know, the same thing. There's a guy fucking, you know, he's in a bad position. He's cut. He's bleeding. He's bruised. Yeah. Is that something that could you switch off being a dad in that moment? Because my son was bullied at basketball camp by just some kid. He talked shit and it like killed me inside. Like I wanted to protect him in such a massive way. But from a fighter's perspective, do you think you could watch that happen and just be a coach in that moment?
I guess you'd have to. You know, you couldn't jump into the ring and say, all right, enough of this shit now. Come on. You've had your phone. Pack it in. This is ridiculous, Callum. Get in the car. Fucking, we'll talk later in private, by the way. That is not how you escape a Kimura, you dickhead. No, I don't know. I mean, I think I could. It would be very, very tough, though. If he was to fight, I'd have to train him, though, and I'd definitely be in his corner and things like that. We spoke about this recently. My mate Daz Morris from England, from Manchester. Shout out Daz. He used to train his, you know, the mother of his children and his long term partner, his girlfriend. You know, and he cornered her, and I was there watching. She got knocked out cold. You know what I mean? I mean, that's fucking.
Yeah, but as a husband, you're like, yes.
Yeah, well, he was the matchmaker for the event as well. He was the promoter. Yeah, he's probably like, what? What's that? You chatting all that shit? No worries. I've got the perfect fight for you next weekend. But yeah, no, it's tough. It's hard. I don't. Yeah, I could. You know. So Callum, if you're listening, toughen up, buddy.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank BetterHelp for supporting today's show. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. It's super easy, okay? You don't have to go out and meet a new therapist. You don't have to find some person that you're going to be uncomfortable talking to. You do therapy right from the comfort of your own home, right from the comfort of your computer. You're matched up with a licensed professional therapist somewhere in the world that makes sense for you. And I'll tell you right now, it truly does help.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps a problem halved. There's a problem shared, should I say, a problem halved. Listen, we all know when you talk to somebody, you get things off your mind, you talk about it, and you kind of realize a lot of the time that things aren't maybe as bad as what they seem. But the first step is actually taking that step to speak to somebody, to get somebody to help. You know, I mean, the old school way of thinking is that, oh, real men, we don't talk about our problems. We deal with it all inside. No, that is not the way to be in this day and age. Also, with BetterHelp, the good news is as well, it is more affordable than traditional counseling. And aid is available and it's easy to get started. Once you sign up at BetterHelp, they will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in just under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It is not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to switch counselors if needed. Listen, once upon a time, I might have strangled Luis J. Gomez when I saw him, but now I speak about my problems. Now I go and sit down with my guy, whatever's driving me crazy, I get it off my chest, and look at this, the new, calm, collected Michael Bisping. You too could be a version of me. I was doing anger management for a while and it really, really did help. Check it out. Give this a try. If you've got something on your mind, you got some issues, you got something that you need to talk about, trust me, talking to somebody will help. Go to betterhelp.com/believe and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced professional. Go to, one more time, betterhelp.com/believe. That's going to get you 10% off your first month. betterhelp.com/believe. If you want 10% off, okay, get rid of your problems, be a happier guy, and save some money. All right, let's get back into it. Dustin Poirier, as we know, we just mentioned Conor breaking his leg. Poirier has come out here and he says, Oliveira says that he will be defending his title against Poirier in December. It's going to be great. If this one really happens, it's going to be a great show. And I'm ready on the feet and on the ground and well, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. I'm happy. Let's go. We'll be defending what is ours in December. So
we talked about this on the last show, this exact quote, Harrington.
Did we? I don't think we did.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever. If it's definitely announced, oh, that's good. I was listening to Dustin Poirier talk to Teddy Atlas last night. I was sitting there just letting bed, looking on YouTube, and Teddy Atlas was insinuating that Conor was making excuses for the leg and all the rest of it. And Dustin Poirier was like, yeah, yeah, 100%. I'm glad you said it, Teddy, because, you know, he is using it as an excuse, but whatever, it is what it is.
What does he mean by making excuses?
You know, talking about the leg break and things like that, saying, you know, because Teddy Atlas was saying, or alluding, should I say, he was being very, very, he was dancing around. He was saying, well, listen, you know, he went in there. If he went in there with a stress fracture, but then was opened throwing tons of kicks, that's not very smart, is it? You know what I mean? So either he didn't have a stress fracture, or he did that knowing that it was going to snap, which I don't agree with that. I don't think anyone's going to throw leg kicks hoping that their fucking foot's going to snap. So therefore they have a built-in excuse, but I think they were having a bit of fun with it. That's what Teddy was alluding to. And you know,
and also like every fighter goes into a fight with injuries, literally every fighter. Tell us all the time. Every fighter talks about it. It's actually more rare. Once in a while, you hear a fighter say, it was like, I'm actually injury free, which is the first time in my career. You hear that once in a blue and you're like, holy shit.
Yep. Yep. No. Every fight, hardly anyone goes in uninjured. It's just such a tough sport, but still Poirier versus Charles Oliveira. That's a good fight. It's crazy. I gotta say, no disrespect to Charles Oliveira, but I don't see Dustin Poirier losing that fight. Call me stupid. I just don't see that happening.
It's a tough fight. It's an incredible fight. It's an incredible fight. And to be honest with you, I think it's going to be closer than people will probably give it credit for. Dustin will likely be a favorite in that fight.
Has to be.
Yeah, would have to be.
Just when you look at Charles Oliveira, he's been finished, I think, 8 times in the UFC. You know, he's been beaten by some people that are good fighters, don't get me wrong. Not bad fighters, but not fighters that are in that top elite level. You know, he has had some issues with maybe not showing the biggest heart or desire, but fucking showed plenty of heart and desire in his last fight. So maybe he's coming into his own, maybe he's coming into his prime. He's still only 31 years old. Most submissions in UFC history, of course, got knockout power as well. He dropped, Chandler. So yeah.
And he's got that gold now. Let me tell you something. We've talked about it time and time again. Now he has access to all the best training partners in the world. He probably already had access to elite, but there's a difference, right? The amount of money that he's making, the amount of recognition, and how much you want to hold on to it. I don't know Charles Oliveira's background. I have no idea. Maybe he's from the Logan Paul type family in Brazil.
No, you don't think so?
Okay, good.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, no, he definitely didn't grow up in a mansion, a half mansion, or even a quarter mansion. I saw a feature that the UFC did a while ago, and it was, it was a tough place growing up, the favelas, and it was poverty, and there certainly didn't seem to be much around. It was a very, very poverty stricken area or neighborhood. So his money's going to go a long way. So no doubt right now he's made more money than he's ever had in his life. And I'm so happy for him. And this pay-per-view with Dustin Poirier. I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Because obviously Conor and Dustin just fought twice in a row, right? The last one did 1.8 million pay-per-view buys by all accounts, which is a tremendously high number. Do you think now there's some of that shine? Obviously, because look at Nate Diaz. Look at what happened with Nate Diaz. He fought Conor. All of a sudden, he beat Conor. All of a sudden, he's a massive star. Do you think the same thing's going to happen with Dustin Poirier? He is a massive star. He is the champion waiting. He is the former interim champion. But do you think him fighting Charles Oliveira breaks a million pay-per-view buys?
Definitely not. No. I don't think that Nate Diaz isn't breaking a million pay-per-view buys without Conor McGregor. Let's get real. Nate Diaz had, and please, Harrington, chime in as well. But Nate Diaz, and look, Dustin, Conor's going to put a shine on anybody, right? Conor is that famous, and Dustin is incredible, and his style of fighting is so good that I think he's done a lot with it and will continue to do a lot with it. If he becomes a champion of the world and continues it on his trajectory, he will be one of the biggest stars the UFC has. But let's get real. Part of the fact that part of the reason that Nate Diaz was able to capture that moment is because he's the fucking Diaz brother. They have that badass, you know, these guys are, they're just from the streets. They're real fighters. They have that it factor about them that they were already stars and massive stars without Conor. And when you match that up, it was a combination of sort of everything. That's why I think Nate got that good. I don't think it was just Conor putting that shine on anybody.
Yeah, but Dustin's kind of, you know, he's got star quality. He does. I mean, yeah, okay, he's not loud. He isn't, you know, Diaz is like a very authentic, original kind of personality. Do you know what I mean? He's a man of few words, but when he does speak, it's often gold. You know what I mean? He has like gangster attitude and all the rest of it. Dustin's a little more clean cut, if you will, but he's a fucking blue collar guy. You know what I mean? That's come up the hard way. That's earned everything he's got in life. That's fucking been there, he's fought his way, he's fought, scratch and clawed his way to the fucking top. And after all these years here, he is fighting for the belt again. I think people get behind that. And certainly beating Conor McGregor two times in a row, right, he's going to get a lot of that rub. And yeah, he's not this big trash talker or whatever. Even still, when Conor was talking shit, he still didn't even really get involved and reciprocate. He kept it classy San Diego, which he shouldn't have done. If that was me, I would have fucking unloaded. But still, I do believe it'll be a big fight. And I'm so happy. That was the point I'm making for Charles Oliveira. Because if he loses this fight, if he loses, it's not a given that Dustin beats him. It's a good fight. It's a competitive fight. But if he does lose, I hope it does massive pay-per-view points, because it means Charles Oliveira is going to earn a few million dollars on that night. And I'm telling you, we talked about how far Khabib's money is going in Dagestan, right? Those few million dollars are going to go a long way in the favelas of Brazil.
Do you think he's still living there?
No, I don't. He'll be getting robbed a lot.
Yeah. I mean, look, I agree. Oh, Harrington, please.
Well, I was just going to make the point that, you know, Poirier not only has the exposure from the two McGregor fights now back to back, he also has the massive fight against Khabib from a couple of years ago, which did almost 1 million pay-per-view buys. And Charles Oliveira is coming into this having done 300,000 pay-per-view buys in a fight against Michael Chandler, who, you know, no one in the general public knows. You know, you have to be an MMA hardcore to respect exactly how big of a pay-per-view draw Michael Chandler would be. You know, so having these guys who are two journeymen who've had a lot of these bigger, you know, who faced a lot of these bigger opponents, there is a chance, I think, this does seven figures. At the very least, high six.
That was, sorry. Tony Ferguson was on that card as well. That's going to help out with the pay-per-view buys as well. But no, you're right, Hamilton. I agree with you. I agree. I think
how many people do more than 1 million? That's the question, because not many. There's very many. Few.
Not many. Even me and George, we came just shy of 1 million, I believe.
Yeah, and that's a massive fight. George St. Pierre coming back after 4 years of being off, moving up to middleweight against Michael Bisping. I mean, you got to think about it. There's probably only a half dozen guys who are hitting over 1 million pay-per-view buys in the history of the fucking sport.
There's not many fights that get over 1 million pay-per-view buys.
Right.
I mean, Conor generally, if you stick his name on
Brock, Ronda,
Khabib, Brock, yeah, for sure. Ronda. I don't know if John ever did one. Jones, I'm talking about.
I don't think so. Even John, who's a massive star, didn't do 1 million. Stylebender, I think, was shy of 1 million on this last one. I just don't think Dustin, Usman Masvidal did 1 million. Really? What else was on that?
Yeah, Usman Masvidal did 1 million, but that was the first pay-per-view in the pandemic, I believe. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not taking away from what they achieved, but there was definitely a big thirst for a big title fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that helped. Obviously, Masvidal beating Nate Diaz, knocking out Ben Askren, Darren Till, all that stuff, that helped as well. You know, that was a big fight, but still.
But yeah, but with that in mind, I would say that I think Dustin will be a star, but I just don't know that he's going to be that, we'll call him a platinum fighter who does.
As opposed to diamond, I don't think he's going to be, he's not Conor McGregor. He's not, but I think now he's a star. Simple as that. I mean, he is a star, but I think he's a pay-per-view star as well. I really do. I don't know if he's going to be banging out multi-million dollar pay-per-view buys. Couldn't get my words out there. What the fuck? Stuck in the fucking loop. Multi-million dollar. But still, whatever. There you go. Stipe Miocic, he's not happy right now. He's been out making headlines this morning. Harrington, can you bring up those tweets or whatever? But basically, the crux of the matter is he feels that he should be getting the trilogy fight. with Francis Ngannou, which I kind of, you know, kind of agree, to be honest. I don't agree. I see his point. Harrington, you've shown yourself. Speak.
So I didn't put the actual tweet in there, but I did put the quote from Stipe. He said, "It's crazy that I have to wait a year. DC, you know, we're 1-1. DC got this instant rematch and this instant trilogy. You know, it's insane that I'm going to have to wait, you know, for this logjam when him and Francis are 1-1. He has the most title defenses in UFC heavyweight history."
Yeah, but. And again, I love Stipe. He came on the show. What a great guest he was. What a fucking guy. Gotta love Stipe Miocic. I will not say anything negative, and this isn't negative. But he never made any noise for a while. Is this the first thing he said in this regard? Because the narrative or the conversations that were going on since he lost the belt to Francis were all about Francis fighting John Jones or Francis fighting Derek Lewis and all the rest of it. There was never talk of the trilogy. If he'd have came out right then and there and said, hey, at the press conference, hey, well done, Francis, he got me, God bless him, but hey, we're 1-1. It's only right that we do the trilogy. If he'd have said that then, and maybe they could have set those wheels in motion, great. But kind of, I think the way that he beat him, because it was very emphatic, you know, he definitely put an exclamation mark on it when he took the belt. A lot of people's minds have drifted away from that. But he's right. He's got a point. You can't deny with the facts of what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. And I love Stipe. And he's great. And if I was the UFC, I would have given him an immediate rematch. He was the most decorated UFC heavyweight champion in history, right? I think that there's value to that. I think there really is. You know, look, UFC and the decisions they make, there's reasons they make them. I think that you have to play your hand, right? And the hand that Stipe is given is that he's still one of the best heavyweights on the fucking planet, right? He doesn't have a title shot right now. So what is the best hand to play? Go knock a motherfucker out. Make a statement. Show everyone that you are the guy and be undeniable. And it's not a hard narrative, okay? It's not hard to get that trilogy fight, right? How hard is it? It's right there. The story's right there. They're just establishing Ngannou as a champion. They know the value in Ngannou being a champion. He's a very, very special athlete. But guess what? It's the most beautiful sport in the world because anybody could win. And you know you can beat this guy. Stipe definitely can come in and beat Ngannou. It's not a foregone conclusion Ngannou wins that third match.
No.
He has to come in and have a very, very strict game plan, and he has to go in. And, you know, that's a tough fight. But Stipe right now, if he gets one high-level win, one big, massive knockout, gets on the microphone, because that's when the fans are listening. Only the nerds are listening to podcasts and listening and are going on the websites. When everyone's at Hooters or at their fucking bar at their friend's house, he gets on the microphone after he knocks somebody out in 32 seconds and says, Francis Ngannou, stop fucking running, and then spikes the microphone at the ground. It's set up. It's done.
Nice way to insult all of our listeners there and call them fucking nerds. That's Luis J. Gomez speaking, not me, by the way. But you're right. You're absolutely right. But that was his issue as well. Last time when DC knocked him out, he wanted a rematch straight away and he had to go away. Who did he beat? Did he beat anyone? No, he just waited for a long time. But DC beat Derek Lewis, I think, in the interim, maybe one more as well. I think it was just Derek Lewis. I'm not sure. But that was his point. It's like, why the fuck aren't I getting an immediate rematch? And he had a point then and he has a point now. But unfortunately, the ship have sailed a little bit. Ngannou is the champ, right? And unfortunately, he's got his eyes elsewhere. God knows what's going on with Ngannou, by the way. I saw him yesterday I saw him giving a speech at like some Marvel award ceremony or whatever, because obviously he's in the new Fast and Furious movie. And I think he's doing something in the Marvel universe as well. And he gave a speech. He was standing there. I don't know where it was. A lot of people in attendance. He was on stage talking about how he used to, you know, sleep in his car, living in Paris, and he was homeless and everything and yada, yada, yada. And now look at me. And you can chase your dreams, everybody, and yada, yada, yada. It was great. It was very, very inspirational.
Imagine you ran into Francis Ngannou on the street, and he's just like, please help feed me. I was like, you're going to need a lot of money, sir. I mean, I can't. There's no way I can afford to help feed you. How much do you eat?
Yeah, he's a big, big boy. But no, that was great to see, man. It was great to see. So anyway, there you go. What else have we got that we haven't got to? Anything? Oh,
yeah, but it is. But it is weird that they didn't put Stipe in for the interim title, right? That's a little weird. I think Stipe versus Lewis would have made sense for the interim title over Stipe versus.
Stipe versus Lewis would have been number one. That's a fight I would love to see. Yeah. Stipe Miocic, Derek Lewis. Talk about a fun fight. You know what I mean? That's
for the interim title.
Yeah, I don't want to downgrade the interim title belt. You know what I mean? So But yeah, Stipe versus Lewis, I'd have preferred that. But still, still gone. God bless him. Don't want to take away from him. Don't want to shit all over his title fight opportunity. You know, so God bless him. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. But Friday night, went to the mall, South Coast Plaza, went shopping. There's a little Italian restaurant in there called Quattro. There's very, very good food. And I got to meet the owner. He came over. He was a very nice guy. Kept sending over free food, which is great. And he's inviting me back. And it turns out he's a good friend of Marvin Vittori. One Marvin Vittori. And they've invited me down for some free Italian food. All of a sudden, that's going to be my favorite restaurant because it's good food. And he just kept sending over the food. I was like, this is fucking awesome. So Quattro in South Coast Plaza. Shout out Domenico, the owner. But he was telling me private stuff about Marvin Vittori. Marvin Vittori has a fight coming up. He's giving away the deets, giving away the details. Marvin Vittori versus Paulo Costa. I think it's in here in the notes somewhere, isn't it, Harrington? But yeah, according to Brett Okamoto as well, Paulo Costa is using Valid Ismail to make a call out. In this case, it's friend of the show, Marvin Vittori. Asked the MMA manager Valid Ismail for an update on Paulo Costa. He said he wants to fight. He said he wants the fight he wants to make, and he's pushing the UFC for Marvin Vittori. Both talk trash. It's just a fun matchup. Well, from all accounts, according to my mate at Quattro, that fight's going ahead. That's a fucking good fight. Marvin Vittori, Paulo Costa. What's Paulo Costa's issue, Harrington? Why hasn't he been around for a while? I think what was his last fight? Was that Adesanya? Has he not fought since Adesanya? Well, yeah, I don't think so, right?
Yeah, his last fight was the loss to Israel Adesanya. If you remember, he had a fight booked against Jared Cannonier and then pulled out for, mysterious reasons that nobody ever really got to the bottom of. So Kelvin Gastelum slid in his spot there.
Slid in his spot. Come on, what are you woeing at, Lewis?
Well, I feel like Harrington was alluding to maybe a little bit of a blue chew for the veins, if you know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea I literally have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean blue juice for the veins? Oh, blue steroids. Are you talking about steroids?
Why did I say that? You might have said that. He's a currently active UFC fighter. What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what Harrington's saying. If you know about the sport, then there was a little bitching, you know, Dana wasn't happy. I think he was asking for more money, and Dana said, you're on the fucking contract, okay, buddy, deal with it. To be fair, he's got a point. I think it was more that than steroids, but still, Paulo Costa, Marvin Vittori, that's a good fight. That's a fun fight. Both guys need a win. Obviously, both coming off losses. Both coming off losses to Israel Adesanya. So, tremendous fight, my friend.
Fight makes sense. A lot of fun. Very exciting. Love Marvin Vittori. We got to get him back on the show.
Yeah, no, we do. We do. He's a good guy. He was texting me. He's, we're going to go eat some Italian food together. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap this one up here, Lewis. It was very fun. It was very fun. Well, we thank you for listening, everybody. If you want to buy any merch, like this hoodie I've got on, or a Devil's Avocado t-shirt, you can go to bymerch.com. If you want to go to the one-man show where Lewis will also be appearing in London, Birmingham, Manchester, Dublin, Glasgow, you can go to myticket.co.uk. And if you want to see all the fun about Lewis J. Gomez, you go to lewisofskanks.com.
Yes. I'll be in Point Pleasant this weekend coming up, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Then I'm going to be doing some other gigs, whatever. You can just go to the website, check it out. Also, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can get the podcast. Go subscribe, hit a like, obviously share it with your friends. And if you guys want access to the entire On Demand library, every episode of the show that we've ever done, all ad-free, uncensored, and in one place, go start from the beginning. Go through the archives, castdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. You get a 7-day free trial. You get access to everything for free. That's it, Bisping. Tonight, we're going to party, my friends.
Well, I won't be partying. I won't be drinking, but I will see you there in just a few hours. I'm going to get changed. I might, of course, squeeze out some shoulders and biceps like the beast I am. But until then, until Thursday, we'll be back with another show. You guys take care. All the best. Thanks for listening. All the best.